My name is Olivia. I'm a co-host of the university's Take Note podcast, which is recorded on Kaurna land. I was born and raised on Kaurna country. In 2019, I was fortunate to visit the APY lands and live within the Pipalitjara community for 5 days. This visit was eye-opening and truly allowed me to understand the depth of culture prevalent in the lands. I'd like to acknowledge the elders past, present and future as the true owners of the land and express my gratitude for everything they've helped me learn and will continue to learn.
Oh my God, the greys just came out and we were like, oh, let's check. And we both thought we did really well. And I sat there and we went silent and I was like, I didn't do very well. I got like a 13 or something. And I was like, what'd you get? And she goes, 12.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
And welcome back to Take Note. I'm Molly, your current set student correspondent, and I'm here with hosts Megan and Olivia.
Hi!
Slay!
In case you guys didn't know, we have three student correspondents. You should all definitely know by now. We did an episode back with them in, I want to say March, maybe April, yeah. And it was called Three Faculties, One Mic. Go give it a listen if you haven't already. And for the next three episodes, all three of our correspondents, one from each faculty, are going to be delivering an episode to you that they have designed themselves. So yeah. We've got Molly from set here today. And I am so excited.
The last time I felt this way was the first episode when you plan out the first episode and I was answering questions. So now I'm really nervous, but I'm very excited.
No, I'm so excited. I love sitting in the hot seat instead of like, I feel like I always just end up like running the show, but I'm so excited to have someone else take the reign.
So today we're going to talk about what it feels like to be stuck between the passion and the pressure and all the personal mental health stuff that happens at uni. When you've ever had those moments where you're staring at your computer or you're sitting in a lecture and thinking, is this right? Do I actually like what I'm doing or am I in the wrong place? Well, let's dive right into that topic. I've been there and it can feel confusing, frustrating, and even isolating. For me, these moments completely overwhelmed me during uni, especially towards the end of my first year and into my second. I just kept pushing through, which is why it continued into my second. But the truth was I wasn't enjoying it and something deeper wasn't clicking. I couldn't see a future in this pathway, but I just felt so much pressure to stick it out since this is what I chose towards the end of high school. And my younger self was just so excited to choose this and I didn't want to let that down or let my family down.
So, oh my gosh. So much of what you're saying I feel like is so relatable. Like even just before when you said like sitting in a lecture and like you just have no idea if it's right. Half the time, like even if you don't even know if it's right, you're sitting in the lecture and you're like, even if you know that the degree is going to take you on the path that you want to get to, you're sitting in the lecture and you're like, is this even relevant to what I want to work in? Like, this seems so pointless. And oh wow, I'll just sit here and keep going.
Sometimes things just don't make sense to me. And I'm like still listening and I'm like, oh, wait, you're telling me you have another 2 years to go. Is this right?
No, literally. And then like, I think the worst part is like you log in and you look at your hex debt or if you're an international student and like the money is just like flowing out and you're like, you're like, am I really paying this much if I don't even know about it?
like you're not sure if you're right, but it's like, oh, the money's there.
Okay.
So I continued to like ignore these signs that I wasn't okay. Like my mental health was decreasing and I didn't have much connection with my family and all my friends. I just didn't know how to fix it. And I knew I didn't have that passion, but I really didn't know what to do. And I didn't want to admit that to myself. So I just covered it up and I was like, I'm tired. I'm just, you know, it's exams, it's everything's going on, but my heart wasn't in it. So Megan and Olivia, do you recall a time you ever stuck with something just to avoid disappointing others or yourself?
Oh my gosh.
Or even just because you already invested so much time?
When I stuck with something.
Doesn't have to be uni related.
Yeah. People that know me, I'm such a yes person. Like I just say yes to everything. Not quite everything, but like if someone wants me to do something to help them out or like things like, or like if like any opportunity that comes my way, I always say yes. And I feel like I say yes to so many things. And then sometimes I realize that things that I've said yes to, like better opportunities have come up, but I'll like strong arm myself, like in my head, and I'll force myself to do the things that like I know, like it's not really my vibe. Like I don't, like there's better things that I'd rather be doing, but I'm like, oh, I've already committed to it. So like, I'll just do it. And then like, I'm the one that ends up getting burnt out. Yes. And it's like so not worth it. Like if I could just like, I don't know.
Even overloading yourself, not being able to learn how to say no, it's just saying yes. And it's like,
exactly. Yeah.
And it's actually so hard to say no.
I know. It is. It feels wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, sorry, can't do that.
No.
Said no one ever. Seriously. And then like when you're burnt out, and like I know I can cope with like not that much sleep, but like when you get burnt out, like good luck coming back from there. It's seriously like so demoralizing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you? Anything?
I was just thinking like trying to show up for your friends, whether it's like an event or like something that they want you to be present in. It's not like something that I'm committed to, but I'm committed to the friendship.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, if I don't show up, am I a bad friend? But I see myself showing up to these things and then just going home and feeling so, so bad that like I no longer feel like I can ever say no after that. And yeah. it's bad. Like I'm spending money maybe outside, or like I'm putting a face up and I'm going home tired. I'm not even doing anything that I want to do anymore. Mm. I don't even know what I want anymore. It gets to that point when that happens. But that's kind of what I thought about when trying to commit to something and then just trying to show up, but then being super burnt out.
Yeah.
Which I feel that word is going to come up a lot, just being burnt out.
It's going to come up all the time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And we were literally talking about that this morning, like when like you really care about a friendship, but like there's so many messages sitting there on your phone and you're like, it's not that I don't care about the person. It's just that right now, like, I know that I'm going to push myself too hard if I try to respond to all these messages.
I am the worst with that. I will leave so many people undelivered and I'll message them a week later and just be like, I'm so sorry. You know, it's been hectic. And
oh
it's
my
just,
gosh.
And then I just ghost again.
No, literally. I'm like, I'll be better. I know I'm not going to be better. Like,
like, at one point I had to accept that that's just how it is for me. Like, we talked about this. We're not a texting kind of person. If I see you and give you the biggest hug, talk about everything that we missed out on talking on text. Olivia pointed this out. If we constantly text about every single thing, what am I going to say when I see you?
That's
so
true.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And like, if I value you enough, when I see you, I'll like show up 100% and I'll like everything that you haven't heard in my life, like I'll be ready to fill you in on.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good to hear like all the different ways that people like are stuck with something and all those different experiences. Really, they're pretty much all the same thing, but just in different contexts. Like for me, I had already invested 2 years of my life into this degree.
Oh my gosh. Wait, how long is your degree?
Well, it's 3 years, but since I took like a leave of absence and did an internship last year, I was technically in my third year. So I'd spent like 3 years and I still had another year, but I'm moving on from that. So it's
like
a big thing. And it just felt like I was quitting it because I was so close, but it also just felt way further than it should have. And looking back now, I see that it wasn't a waste because like I got the internship, which helped me figure out what I actually wanted to do. Like I had experiences, I met so many friends, and all that space stuff anyway will still be relevant to what I'm interested in.
Do you want to quickly give people a little bit of background about like like what degree you did and then like where your internship was and like what you were tossing up between?
Yeah, so what I currently still technically I'm enrolled in was the Bachelor of Science, Space Science and Astrophysics. And
insane.
Literally.
I was telling one of the people that Megan and I work with, I was like, yeah, like Molly's studying astrophysics. And they were like, what is astrophysics?
During my degree, I did a hackathon with some friends that I had. And it was like, it's like a hackathon, but it's not actually coding. It was just like you solve a problem and you had to like make a presentation. And we won that. So I got an internship with a company. From that, I did like a lot of work on helping them out. And one of my projects was writing an article. And from that, I was like, I love doing this. I loved talking to all the people in the company and like figuring out and interviewing people. And I loved it. But I was like, I don't want to just do that for random things like I did there. I wanted to do it space focused.
Yeah.
Which is where I figured out exactly what I wanted to do, which was space communications. So
cool.
Yeah.
But the better way to get there is actually through a marketing and communications degree, not through a space degree. So I don't have to do all the physics and math, which is great.
Sorry to anyone that loves physics and maths. Yeah. I'm very happy for you to
have
slightly less physics and maths in your life.
Yeah.
I'm so keen. But yeah, it just helped me uncover what I really wanted to do and where I was supposed to go. So now we're going to break it up and do a little game. It's called...
I love games. Every time we get to play a game, I'm like...
No, me too. I'm an original iPad kid since the start. So any game...
Well, it's a game where you have to answer questions. So.
I can do that. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm in like the hot seat. What's that show? Where you like hit the buzzer and it's like ding, ding, ding.
Family Feud.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, love that.
And they all say the wrong answers and it's like so obvious what it actually should be.
It's like when a teacher tells you, oh, it's time for Kahoot. Oh my gosh. Best time.
Slay. Love Kahoot.
So I'll throw out a topic and we're going to each share how our answer looked in our first year of uni and like now, or for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
In like your last year. So your favorite way to procrastinate, what was that then versus now?
Definitely for me, it's just binge watching shows that I've already watched. So yes. I can tell you, I can name so many different sitcoms that I've watched like every single day for the rest of my life whenever I'm procrastinating, straight to my iPad, straight to that show. It's so bad. And I try so hard to like get out of it. As soon as I do it, I'm like, okay, this is the start of my procrastination and I can't get out of it. But that's for me.
Oh my gosh. In first year, I was insane. I got this job and I like, don't get me wrong, I loved the job. I'm obviously not there anymore, but I would just work a million hours a week. Not a million, 45. Literally over full-time. I was doing full-time uni. It was like a shift work kind of job. Like you wouldn't work overnight, but some of the shifts would be like 3 to 11. So it's like...
That's long.
Late.
Yeah, no, but like you can low-key get like your day in a bit beforehand.
Right.
So anyway, but I wanted to have a reason as to why. So like I knew that I was doing bad at uni, but I wanted to have a reason, not bad, but like I wanted to have a reason as to why I wasn't getting my work done.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll just keep working more. And I would fill my schedule with plans. Like I would be going out, seeing friends Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, working all these hours. And uni just like wasn't a thing.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of a smart way to like kind of go around it, though.
So you're not like, oh, I just I'm really was on my phone. My
job. Yeah. Yeah.
That just reminded me. I had another thing where I just like was cleaning every single bit of my apartment.
I do that. Like, I do it even, before an exam.
Yeah. It's so bad. Like I'll look at little things that I never noticed. I'm like, oh, wait, that needs a bit of cleaning.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm like dizzy from all the chemicals, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it was pretty much similar to Megan's. It was I doom scroll. It's just straight doom scrolling. It used to be reading. Like, I used to be really good with my procrastinations. I'd be like, it wouldn't really be a procrastination, it'd be a break, and I would read a book, and it's kind of healthy. But now it's just movies, doom scrolling.
No, see,
it's
I feel terrible. Like I'm the same. Like, in first year, I was like, I can't do uni because I'm going out, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm working, I'm going out, I'm doing whatever. So then, like, I just wouldn't do uni. But then in second and third year, I was like, ooh, Loki, better lock in. But then I would try to lock in, and then you get doom scrolling. So then that's, like, actually procrastinating. Like, in first year, I was, like, a forward thinker procrastinator. I was like,
Forward thinker procrastinator, that's good.
But now in, like... Well, like third year and like now I'm like, if I have things to do, I'll just like get on a bit of a scroll.
Time flies when you're doom scrolling.
It does.
No, we all get it though. I blame TikTok.
It's those stories, those like overstimulating Reddit stories where they're playing Subway Surfer.
And they've got like all the Minecraft jumping. And it's like,
I love it. I'm watching the Minecraft jumping. I can hear the story. And suddenly it's like, and it used to be better when TikTok wouldn't, the videos had time limits. Like they couldn't go for more than a minute.
Yeah.
So you have to watch it in minute snippets.
Yeah.
Have you seen those things where people put like a whole movie onto TikTok?
Yes, I've seen that.
And it's like, have a break for a while.
Yeah. I've seen a full Barbie movie before just on TikTok on my phone. I literally cannot imagine my like posture in the couch just like looking at it.
No, so bad. Or it's like a 10-minute TikTok and I'm like, oh yeah, scroll. What do you mean 10 minutes has gone by?
Oh my gosh.
It's so bad. The next question is your biggest fear about uni back when you started versus what it actually surprised you about, like what was kind of like, ooh.
This isn't really a fear when I started, but then looking back, this was really scary.
Okay.
This is like the first thing that came to mind. So like mum had always told me that when you get to uni, like you'll make so many friends, there's going to be so many people there, like you'll find your people at uni. And I was like, fab, sign me up. So I just assumed that you rocked up to uni and you made so many friends. So I would walk into every class and if there was like any girls my age, like a group of people that looked really nice, I literally would just walk up to them. Hi, I'm Olivia.
That's so cute.
Little did I know, half of them were like friends that had done the degree together. So they're like, who is this random person?
Oh, okay.
Walking up to us. Literally so, like not so weird. Like it was in classes. So I'd be like, hey, like, can I sit with you? Whatever.
I think that's
wholesome. That's kind of good though.
Yeah.
Like, I was the opposite. I would always expect people to come up to
me. No, I think there is people too. Like that though. Mm. Like I have this friendship group and still to this day, they're like, the only reason we're friends is because Olivia forced us into a group chat. I was like, oh, yeah, I know this class has no group assignments, but like, should we make a group chat in case we have any questions about the class? No one used the group chat until the week before the exam when like two people messaged it. And then I was like, should we all get lunch after the exam?
Aww.
so
did
cute.
Did it happen?
Yeah. Aww. And now we still catch up. And I met my best friend the same way. But looking back, I'm like, who was I? Like, what? I'm just going to strut in there in my little, like, my fashion has gotten way better. Like, back in the day, I was like, that was not university appropriate.
Oh, my gosh. Me
like,
too.
What was I wearing? Oh. Obviously, you can wear anything at uni, but yeah. I'm like, why did I wear that?
Yeah. Personally, I don't care what people rock up to, but, like, think looking back, I'm like, that was a bad outfit for me to wear.
I know. I'm like, do you really think people are going to talk to you when you're wearing ripped mini denim shorts and a little tiny tank top? Probably not.
Wait, I still see people wear that.
No, these were mini. Oh, like, and like, I swear I'm not like that, but I swear, like, in these shorts, I thought that they were like a fine length. It's so embarrassing.
Canon event. Like, you just don't know. Ew. You have to go through that to find your fashion sense. Yeah. You look good now.
Thank you. Yeah. Hold myself together.
For me, I feel like I say this in like almost every episode when I'm like, find out what works for you. But personally, it was my biggest fear was like emailing tutors or like people about things, like questions I had. Like, it sounds so stupid. Every time I had a question, I'm like, this should be straightforward, but why don't I understand? And for the longest time, I like held back on it. I'll just like assume it would be this way. Did my assignment, hand it in, get a grade where the teacher's like commenting like, this didn't make sense. This didn't follow that. I'm like, I like read should've word by
asked.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I should have just asked. But it wasn't until I think end of my first semester of my last year of uni where I started like emailing tutors or like just saying like, hey, I missed a class because I wasn't feeling this, or like I'll explain what I had a few issues going on personally, and I finally like told people about it, like in terms of the people that I had control over, like my grades and stuff. I also reached out to like student care, and I reached out to, I think, student well-being. And that was when I realized, wow, there's actually a lot of help you can get.
Yeah.
But the biggest fear should have been not emailing enough. Like, I get that you don't want to spam people, but if you need help, reach out. Because, like, how else are you going to, you know, find out what you need?
You're literally paying for the degree. So.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And I feel like I was, like, kind of similar. I got so stuck in the fact I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm a couple weeks behind. Like, we're in week 6 right now, but I've got a question about week 4. And, like, in my head, I'm like, if I email and ask about this question, they're going to be like, oh, she's behind, and mark me down.
Yeah.
They're definitely not going to do that. Like, they literally don't care. Like, they actually are just happy to, like, answer whatever questions you have.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, they're going to know that I'm, like, dumb. Like,
yeah. But that's such a, like, common, like, thought, though. Like, I remember emailing this one tutor that I haven't emailed. Well, I never emailed until, like, the last few weeks. And she was like, I remember apologizing, like, sorry, this is a really simple question. And then she emailed back and she was like, I'm actually really relieved that someone's listening in. Like, I know there's more than, like, it wasn't just me emailing. Yeah. But, like, she made it known because it's, like, probably a common thought for students to think, like, if I email them about week 2 or week 3 right now, it's going to be too late. But it's not.
But I guess it's kind of nice for the teachers as well to know that there are students that are actually listening to what they got to say and they have questions about it.
Yeah.
And it's like the lecturers are people too. Like, they are just going there to record their lecture. Like, it's not like just some like it's so easy to think like, oh, this is pre-recorded. Like, they do this every week. But it's like they took the time out of their day to like do the lecture. So
you
can take the time out of yours to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
Mine was pretty similar to Olivia's. It was the friends. I was... Actually, but yours was like, you would just go up to them.
Yeah, but looking back, I should have been scared.
No. But for me, I was actually scared. I would kind of just sit there and be like, ugh. But it ended up being fun because, like, I realized you would get smushed together anyway. Like, you sit next to someone or they put you together in a prac and you're like, hey, we're besties now. We do the degree together. Yeah. And it's like, now I have some of my best friends.
I was going to say, when we were walking through the hub with you just before, literally 5 people came up to you.
So, really?
Yes.
Popular. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. Only like nice people.
Oh. Is it like with your degree, is there more males and females?
There is, yeah. Okay, so when I was first in it, there was only like a few of us that were girls, but then it actually evened out quite a bit. Like the more you know how people kind of drop out. Yeah. It actually evened out. So
that's good.
Yeah. When I imagine like you see like a couple of girls in a room full of guys, you're like, we have to be besties because like how else?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
That's so funny because that's what my degree was like. So I did commerce in marketing finance. Every finance class men.
Oh, yep.
Every marketing class, I'm like, yeah, the girls.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it was
kind of excited now.
So funny. It was so awkward. I remember being in this lecture this one time. I was sitting right up the back. I was like, it was like week two or something. So like I was on track at this point, like I hadn't gotten behind. And he's like looking around the room and I realized that I'm literally like there's other girls in the room, but they're all like international students, and then like the whole room is basically just men, and right. I'm like sitting up the back by myself, like no one's talking, like everyone's sitting individually, and I look around the room and I'm like, there's not even anyone that I could walk up to easily, like everyone's got like headphones on, like they're locked in. I'm like, not like this is not okay.
Oh.
Anyway, and then I'm like trying to sit there and like listen to the lecture with all these individual people, and I'm right up the back, and I've got blonde hair for those of you that don't know, and I'm wearing a bright red top, and the lecturer goes, you, the blonde girl in the red top.
Oh, no.
I would hate that.
It's because I stuck out like so much. Like I just knew that I did. The whole room was like black. Like everyone was wearing like black clothes, navy yeah. tops. Like, oh my God, everyone had like dark hair, and I'm sitting up the back.
Oh my gosh.
That's
what I learned actually. Like everyone wears like neutral or dark colors. I used to be like super colorful with my outfits, and then I wanted to blend in, so I wore more black and white clothing.
Crazy.
I actually had one more question. How did you define success in your first year? First, how do you define it now? Can give you a start. For me, I used to define it. It was pretty simple. I used to define it off of other people's opinions pretty much. So like whatever my parents validated or I thought sounded fancy would be how I defined success, if my parents were happy or something like that. After I made that big decision, it was a big change where I'm just, success is what makes me happy.
Mm. Oh my God, so cute.
My gosh.
I feel like mine's the most like typical success ever. Like, is my name the one on the board? Did I get good grades? Like, to me, would always be success. But I feel like these days I'm a bit more chilled out. I'm more like, success is defined by, like you were saying, like, if I'm happy with what I'm doing, but also, like, the opportunities that are coming my way. And, like, I still view myself as being successful for finishing my degree, even though, like, I might not have got the grades that matched what I got in year 12 or the grades that I might have hoped I'd get in university. Like, I look back and I'm, like, super happy to have finished my degree.
Aww.
And I'm super happy with, like, all the opportunities that are coming my way. And I feel like it's a way better perspective. And, like, I feel like I was listening to the Mel Robbins podcast the other day.
Ooh.
And she talks about the great scattering. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
So, like, when you finish high school, that's the first scattering. It's called, like, the mini scattering, where, like, everyone goes to uni, but, like, you're all living. So, like, when you're at school, you're all in a bubble. And, like, you're friends with people because, like, you all go to school together. You all run on the same schedule. Even if you're friends with people from different schools, you're, like, everyone gets out at the same time. You're all free at the same times to see people. So it's, like, everyone's super close together. And then you go to uni, some people do trades, but like people are still free at like similar times and you get like more freedom. So people make new friends, but like you still keep your friends from school for the most part. Like some people don't, obviously, but like you still are on the same schedules. Like some of my friends did uni together. I didn't do it with any of them, but we would all catch up because we're all still on the uni schedule.
Yeah.
And then people start finishing uni, which is like what's just happened for Megan and I. And this is the great scattering where it's like suddenly like, you're not on the same schedule as anyone. Like, and even if you are, it's like everyone's so busy. Like, people have way less time. Like, lots of my friends are nurses. So then, like, they're all on, like, different shifts. Like, I work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. So it's like I'm only free in the evenings and on weekends. But then, like, two of them might randomly free and they go get a coffee in the morning. And then it's like people make friends through work and they've got friends from uni and they've still got their school friends. And it's like this huge, like, great big scattering. And it's like, I still view it as like we're all the same. Like, if they're my age, we should be at the same point. But it's like, I'm slowly coming to terms with the fact that, like, we are all scattering. And it's like, as long as I'm happy with what I'm doing and I'm at a good point in my life, it's like everyone's just doing the same thing in theirs.
Oh my God, Olivia, I'm literally trying not to cry. That is so.
Oh, really?
That's so, like, that hit me so hard. I was like, wait, everyone actually used to be like, in sync, and now it's like it's hard.
Yeah,
everyone's had like completely different schedules and it's like very different. I feel like that transition's gonna hit me like a truck because I'm still learning to like accept that things are not gonna be the same, but in a good way too, you know? Like, would I rather be I don't know, like, I was definitely a lot more confused, like, my first year, but now, like, I kind of know where I'm going, where I'm headed, but I guess I don't have that social life I used to, but that's because we're all completely in completely different schedules compared to before.
Yeah, and, like, people go to different gyms. It's, like, for me, like, I go to work, and then I'm going to my gym class, and it's, like, maybe I'm free afterwards, like, maybe I'm not, and I'm noticing it so much, like, in some of my group chats, people message, they'll be, like, are you free on Friday the 1st? Like, let's get dinner, and... Like, back in, like, year 12, uni, people are like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, it's my brother's birthday. Or, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I already committed to doing this other thing. Mm-hmm. Now people just say, like, sorry, girl, not free. Like,
yeah.
They're like, sorry, like, I'm not free. Like, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
And it's, like, people were, like, are so much less, like, providing an excuse. It's, like, if you're not free, you're not free.
You're not free. Yeah.
Right.
It's different now. Priorities such a changed. Big change. Yeah. Even as an international student, like, moving from Malaysia to Adelaide, like, I definitely still kept in touch with my friends in high school. We still, like, had calls pretty much every single, like, every few days we would call. We watch a movie online. We'll talk about, like, our lives and how it's changed and what we have planned. And then second year, I think we just all drifted apart, but no one really explained anything. We just kind of had our thing going on, had our own friends here. And then third year was, like, we were all focused on, like, finishing uni, but it was the same sort of thing where we had our, you know, freedom to kind of plan how our week looked like. And now it's just like, I might be tired from work, don't feel like it today. Or like, just like, I need to wake up early tomorrow, can't have a late dinner tonight. Well, for me, how I defined success in my first year definitely was the same with, like, having a study life balance, getting good grades, but also having, like, fun plans and big friend group. But I was never really academically talented, nor was I motivated to study. So I never really had, like, great grades, but eventually I had to accept that, like, this isn't something that I would be great at. I can only try as hard as I can with the capacity that I'm given, I guess. But it was hard trying to accept that, because a lot of my friends had different capacities. So in my head, if I didn't meet up to their standards to, like, success in uni, I was deemed unsuccessful in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess now success is trying to kind of contain my anxiety, my stress, and kind of, like, still showing up. That's success to me. Mm. And, like, just continuing with what I was doing and what I've been wanting to do. Like, I would get stressed over the fact that, like, I might not be who I thought I would be, and then I take a step back and I realize this is actually exactly where I'm meant to be right now. I wanted to study abroad, I wanted to have a life abroad, and I wanted to be able to take care of myself, and I am. So that's kind of my success now.
What you're saying, it's so true. I love those TikToks that are like, 5 signs you've succeeded today. 1, you got out of bed. It's, like, so true. Like, yeah, that is successful. And it's, like, true. Like, you made it through a whole day of work. Like,
honestly. Yeah.
Man, this is an emotional question.
I was going to say, this is an intense part.
Oh, my God.
But I like that we're all on the same page. That's when you know, like, yes, our lives are so different, but at the same time, we're at the same boat.
Yeah, like, everyone's doing such different experiences, but it's, like, all the same in a way. Like, it's, like, everyone feels the same.
Aww.
It's crazy. It's really good to hear it. Well, not good that that people are going through it, but, you know. Like,
Yeah.
Relatable.
So you don't feel alone.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads into the next part of how, like, it's not always just a huge moment where you kind of feel like things are different and not how you planned them to be, but it can be a series of moments where you're like, oh, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or you're just sitting there and you're dissociating. But for me, it was just a bunch of moments over the years that stacked up until I was like, no, I can't do this. I was just, like, completely off. I wasn't really caring about what I was doing. I didn't worry about my grades anymore. Like, I stopped checking them. But I just felt ashamed. And I wasn't loving what I previously so excited doing. And that was really sad. Mm. So what is something small that helped you guys when you felt stuck like I was feeling?
I guess for me, the first thing that comes to mind is I'm such a to-do list girl. Mm-hmm. So, like, I need to write everything down that's, like, spinning in my head. Like, every little thing, like, even if there's a message I've been putting off replying, I'm like, reply to so-and-so, like, wash my sheets, but then, like, bigger things, like, marketing to the world assignment, whatever. And I would write everything down and say there'd be, like, 15, 20 things that I need to do on the list. I would look through and I would find the easiest one on the list and I would do it. Like,
to feel motivate
like a little
you.
Sense of accomplishment.
That's really practical.
Like, yeah, it's so good. I did it yesterday at work. I didn't quite get everything done, but I wrote down 7 things I wanted to do for the day. And then I just worked through them easiest to hardest. I'm I'm sure that my brain power is better in the morning, but then like by the time you get to the hard things, there's only like two things left on the list. So you're like, oh yes, slay. Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. I like that.
Very similar, I guess. But instead of like finding an easy thing to do, I guess it's just to like write everything down or put everything out there so I can kind of see what I've got going on. Because a lot of the times I tell myself like, oh my gosh, why am I overreacting? Why am I like not, I'm not getting anything done. Mm-hmm. But then when I put everything out there, I realize that I actually have a lot to do and I have a lot of responsibilities and I'm actually doing things and I'm still going, you know, like it's stuff that I've done and stuff that I need to do. So it's kind of like my mind, my brain dump, basically. And then when I see that, if I need to, I might just really take a breather, like push myself off my desk and take a little walk to Union House, let's say, and then look outside, look at the trees, literally touch grass if I have to. But like it doesn't really come to that, but that does happen. And then go back to what I need to do.
I feel like it's actually so hard to actually go out and touch grass, like people say, like go outside. Like it's just like the energy to like, I have to get up, I have to get dressed, I have to look presentable to go outside. But like it's actually quite useful. Yeah. Or like even just like walking up and down my hallway so I don't have to go outside, but like so I'm not staring at my screen. I think that's so good.
My boyfriend is so good at forcing me to do that. Like I met him for lunch the other day and I'm like, oh, like can we please sit inside, like the sun's just too bright. He's like, have you had your 15 minutes of sun today? I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't want to.
Oh my god.
And then he's like, no, like we'll sit outside, like trust me, like you might not want to right now, but like you'll feel better afterwards. And it's so true. Like even just doing that, like I had to walk 10 minutes to the lunch, sat outside for like the 20 minutes that we were there, and then I walked 10 minutes back, and it's like, you feel like so much better.
Sometimes we message each other like, hey, you want to get coffee? Oh my gosh, the way I like jump off my desk.
It's oh, that's helpful. Cute.
She's like, I'm free right now.
Yeah. She was like, oh, whenever you, I'm like, now. It's good. I hop straight into my work and I'm like, wow, that was a good like break.
Yeah.
And with that stuff about where you write things down to get them done, that was kind of what I did to figure out what I was trying to do. I did more of a pros and cons list though. It was like, why am I here? Why am I not here? What am I doing? And it was most of the time the reason, the pros of staying was just because you chose it.
Yeah.
Like this is like you're here. Like I couldn't think of any pros, but I was just like, no, I'm gonna keep staying. Like I just didn't want to admit that. But eventually I just came to the decision after months and months. It was so long of deciding because it sounds silly looking back, but it just felt like a big decision to me, spending all that time. But eventually I did, and I walked away from it. So I'm curious to know if you guys have ever made a big decision like that that felt completely terrifying, but afterwards it was right for you.
Oh my gosh, I just remembered something. First year of uni, I actually did... So I graduated in a Bachelor of Commerce in marketing, but my first year I actually took up corporate finance and marketing, which is something that Olivia did. Couldn't survive that, by the way, so props to you, but... I failed my courses for the first time, and it was like I didn't fail in high school. I took up a lot of things in high school. So to me, failing courses in uni when I only had like four subjects was like really crazy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know how to tell my dad because I was paying insane money to be here. And you're telling me I have to redo this and this is going to be like my degree. And it's like first year, I could not even think about dropping anything. I couldn't even think about like switching degrees or even dropping that major. But I called my dad after, I think, 2 days of like panicking in my room. And it was bad. Like I called uni first. Like I think it was asked Adelaide about like what I can do. And I was like, oh, did I really like just fail? Like there's no other, like my grade was so bad. I couldn't even resit for the exam. It was that bad. So I had, and I remember like them telling me that, and I was like, okay, well, like, what do I do now? I have to call my dad. That's my only resort. And I called him, bawling my eyes out, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know how this got to me. And like, I knew what led to this, and at the time, like, I just didn't know what to do because it's my first time ever experiencing something like this. And my dad was just like, obviously he like acknowledged what I was going through, and then eventually he's like, but why are you crying? And I was like, the money that just spent like went down the drain, blah blah. And like he was quite blunt, actually. He was like, just drop it. Do you have to take finance? Do you like marketing more? And I was like, yeah, I hate finance. The only reason I took it was because it was like more secure in terms of like my future. But yeah, when I dropped it, I actually felt so free. And I was like looking at all these classes I could take, and I was like, wow, this is actually really fun.
Oh, but that's so good.
That was a big decision for me.
Yeah, that's huge. I feel like mine, like, doesn't really, like, the biggest decision I can think of in my life, I feel like I understand that this makes me sound super privileged, and I'm just talking about this decision because for me, like, this was such a defining moment in my life. Mm-hmm. When I was in year nine, I went to a private school, and my school offers two trips, international trips. One of them is the Vietnam trip that you have to put in an application for, and you go to Vietnam and you, like, help out a community for 2 weeks and you whatever. And anyone can apply, but they only accept 20 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, perfect. And then the other one is the Japanese trip, and you go to Japan for 2 weeks and you, like, live with a Japanese family for 5 days and you go to all these Japanese cities.
Wow.
And that's when they open to the people that study Japanese. And I was one of the only people that was in the boat where I'd been accepted into Vietnam and I also was studying Japanese. And I was like, oh, my God. And obviously my parents, like, aren't going to pay for me to go on two trips, like, and I'd literally be the only student that did that. And I'm like, that makes me look so privileged. Like, not happening. I was like, one, my parents aren't going to pay for it. Two, like, no one else is doing that. Like, it kind of is a one or the other type of situation.
Yeah.
And, like, majority of the year level doesn't even go on any trip. And I remember crying for days. Crying. Like, first of all, Olivia, pull yourself together. You're getting an international holiday regardless. Like, I think you'll be okay.
Nah, huge at that decision, age, though. I would be bawling my eyes too.
I literally was, like, 15, and I was, like, I just remember being so stressed. I was, like, this just feels like such a big decision. I've always been someone that's so bad with FOMO. I was, like, if whatever trip I don't go on, like, I'm going to have such bad FOMO of, like, whatever. So, anyway, I ended up making the decision, and I went to Japan. And this is why I kind of am not sure if it fits the question exactly, because, like, I don't know if it was right for me. Like, at the I think it was, but, like, there was not a moment on the trip that I was like, yes, like, I've made the right decision. I really just went to Japan because I'd love studying Japanese, and I was like, this would be so fun, and more of my friends were going to Japan, and I was like, Japan's cool, like, let's go. And don't get me wrong, I had the best 2 weeks. Like, I was looking back the other day, it was 7 years ago.
Oh,
ridiculous. Yeah. You say 15 and they sound like kind of old. I'm like, oh, yeah, 15. I'm 22. Like, that's nearly a long time ago. Decade
difference.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So anyway, and then I studied Japanese all the way through to year 12, and I started a diploma of Japanese at uni, but I dropped it because I don't know, I felt like it wasn't right for me, and then ended up not really doing that well in year 12 Japanese, even though I spent so much time on it. Like, it was my, like, subject. Like, the other subjects that I was, like, trying at, I, like, did way better. Japanese was, like, I was pouring my, like, heart and soul into this, and I did, like, not so badly. Like, I did fine, but, like, not as well as I definitely wanted to. So, like, looking back, I'm sure that, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, I had an amazing trip to Japan. I learned so much about myself. And then, like, as I came back and I forced myself to study all the way through, I was like, maybe this, like, isn't right for me.
Yeah. Can I just say that, like, at that age, if it means a lot to you, it means a lot to you, point blank. Like, if you get FOMO, you get FOMO, and that stuff sucks.
Like, especially when you're a kid. Like, I remember deciding between 2DS games. Like, to me, as a child, worst decision of my entire life. My mum was like, I'm happy to get you one, grab one. And I was like, which one? Like, and it was the worst moment of my childhood.
Oh, my gosh.
No, like, looking, like, as that, in that moment, I was like, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's just things like that that are just, like, random.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think for me, just thinking about it then, as you guys were talking, like, looking back, every time I have a big decision to make, I, like, think of it about the Japan-Vietnam situation. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, this is, like, Japan-Vietnam. And I look back and, like, I think maybe for me that was the big decision that made all the other decisions feel less terrifying.
Aww.
Because, like, I made that decision and, like, it turned out fine. Yeah. And, like, I look back and I, like, don't know 100% if I made the right decision, but, like, the outcome overall was okay. Like, I'm still standing, like, I'm still good. So every other time I'm faced with a big decision, I feel like, and it's always the first thing that comes to mind, big decision, Japan, Vietnam. Like, it's always what I go to. And I'm like, they were both good options and they were both fine. So it's like, a lot of other things in life are probably the same.
That's really mature, and that's a really good lesson.
It makes you it makes me feel really good about, like, making decisions myself, like, that it's just going to be fine. Like, it doesn't matter, but it's just going to be fine no matter what. That's great.
I feel like when you're a kid, you're like, you know what? I made the right decision studying Japan, and I did well enough to make it to the Vietnam application. Why can't I go to both? Because everyone else didn't make that decision. I did.
Yeah.
Like, that's just in my head. I'm like, if I was in your position, I'm like, well, I made the right decisions. You guys didn't.
Yeah. Sorry.
And with that thing about how, like, no matter what you choose, it's going to be fine. Even though I have done that degree and it wasn't right and I'm moving on, like, it doesn't mean it was wrong to do it. Like, it still ended up being fine. Like, without that, I wouldn't have figured out what I wanted to do. And it wasn't a waste of time. It just helped me realign to where I want to go. And I think that's really nice. We are going to end with another game before we wrap up called Pass the Prompt.
Oh, fun.
I'm going to start a sentence and you each have to finish it. So the first one is, the most unexpectedly hard experience at university was?
I'm going to say finding my first class.
I was thinking of that. Oh,
seriously. These days, I'm like, oh, yeah, Napier, right there. Yeah. Oh, you want Flinchy? Just over there. Braggs, right down there. First day, I'm like, what do you mean I have to go to Napier LG15, whatever. It's literally such an easy class to find, but I'm like, I had no idea.
Yeah. Flinchy was the confusing one. In the hub and then down the stairs. And I was
Everyone gets lost for that one. Yeah. The only reason I knew where it was is because I did the Head Start program with the university. So I did two university subjects when I was in year 12 and the information session was in Flinchy. And I was like, where is this? And I walked around that for like half an hour on that day and I missed like half the session. So then when I came to uni, I was like, Flinchy? Yeah.
You've got history.
Yeah. I don't know what mine would be. What's yours?
Those lockers. Oh, when somebody, like, when you have to go to Offset to get your little thing so you can, like, use it. But, like, I went down the stairs and I, like, tapped it and it opened and it just beeps at you. And I was, like, trying to, like, push the thing to get the key out, but the keys don't come out and it just beeps at you and it's stressful.
Oh, my God.
I hate the voice.
I just bumped into a girl that had that happen to her and I was, like, walking past and I was wondering what was beeping and I could just see her panicking. I was like, I'll look away to save another pair of eyes looking at you.
Yeah.
Oh, the eyes. It's the worst. Yeah. And you're just standing there and you're, like, freaking out and everyone's just like...
You can feel everyone looking at you. I hate that.
Oh. The next one is, the first time I felt like I actually belonged at uni was when...
I have shared such a similar story, but everyone knows my best friend's also called Liv. She's actually in America right now. So
fun.
Miss you, Liv. She's definitely not listening because she has no time. Anyway, the first time I felt like I belonged was when, so I'd already met her the night before at one of the uni parties. I've told this story in an episode before, so I'm going to race through it. We met at one of the uni parties and we had a class together the next day. We had the same name and we were already enrolled in a class together the next day in the exact same degree. Literally meant to be, whatever, we went to this class. I was like so nervous. We got along like pretty well, all is well. We had each other on Snapchat. Didn't talk to her really until the next week. The next week, she's like, hey, like, let's catch up for the hour before the class. And we were just, like, sitting on the Barsmith lawns cross-legged because it was, like, first semester, summer, like, so cute. And we had so much in common. We both have parents whose both of their first names start with an S. We both have the same dog. Like, we both had the same ice cream flavor. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I've just found the best person. And I was like, yep, like, this is where I'm exactly meant to be.
That's
right,
so
now.
Cute.
To be honest with, like, business courses, I feel like everyone, we meet so many different people, so I never really had like a tight friend group in uni. But when I felt I belonged was when we started talking about like being stressed about exams and being stressed about, and by the way, I at this time I was like a credit student for this course and this other girl, she was like a HD, does full-time studies and part-time accounting in this other firm.
Whoa.
And we're talking and we were like ranting about courses in the same way. And then we started talking about grades and that's when I was like, whoa, cool. But then I told her like that I was not the same as her at all. But she talked about how like, oh, but you're an international student. You've got to worry about cooking, cleaning and paying rent and all that stuff. And just like even finding your way around the city, it's really confusing. But to be acknowledged like that, because I didn't even see that as an issue. It's just more like a... like, I had to do it anyway. That was when I felt belonged, which is ironic because it's like, we're very different. But when she acknowledged it, I felt safe.
It was nice that she actually went out of her way to like say like what you're struggling through too. And it's not just the studies and stuff.
Yeah. I need to actually keep in touch with her. I haven't texted her in a while.
Aw, that's so cute.
Mine is very similar. It's to do with like having a friend and relating on things. I only met her in my second year. So a few months ago, we've known each other. But it was a particular moment where I was like, you're my friend. Like,
aww.
She's like good. She's high grades and everything like that. But very similar to yours. We were talking about after a physics test we just did and we're sitting, we're having lunch and she was like, oh my God, the grades just came out. And we were like, oh, let's check. And we both thought we did really well. And I sat there and we went silent. And I was like, I didn't do very well. I got like a 13 or something. And she goes, and I was like, what'd you get? And she goes, 12. And I was like, yeah. And we just celebrated together.
That's like, so funny.
It was like less than what we should have got, like less than half. But like the fact that we both got pretty much the same, we just celebrated because we're like, heck yeah, this is the degree. It's tough. And we're doing it together. So
that's so cute.
That's so cute.
And that's pretty much actually my exact same answer for the next question I had for you guys. One small moment that meant everything, like a small win that was just the best thing ever. And that was, I think, one of mine, like just having that friend that knew exactly what I was going through. And that was, Did you have anything different for that one?
Mine is so similar.
Yeah.
So I was, as everyone knows, I did finance. And in third year, if you're doing finance and marketing, there was almost like no one that graduated with this combination. I'm sure of it. Whoa. But like there must have been like at least 20 of us. You had to do all your finance in semester one and all your marketing in semester two because like that's just the way the timetable fell. Like there was no way of doing it any better than that. Mm. And the first semester of third year in finance, the last two exams that you had to do were on the same day. Back-to-back exams at Wayville. Oh. So you only had like an hour off in between. You had to like run across the BP, get some lunch, whatever. Oh. The vibe on the day was like ridiculous. Everyone was like so locked in. Like you breathe a sigh of relief, run across, get your lunch. Everyone's sitting in those chairs at Wayville, like studying away in the break. It was like insane. When they announced that we could leave for the second exam and like we walked out, no one even said anything. Like I went up to my friends and I spoke to them, but you could like everyone just like breathed a sigh of relief. And it was like, you really felt like I felt such a sense of community. I was like, yes, like we are all in this together. Like, and it's such like a small win that like I felt like everyone was in the same boat. Like I was looking around the room and I was like, oh my gosh, like we're all here together. Like we're finishing finance.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so cute.
I can imagine everyone's faces when they walk out. They're not even like present. They're just like walking out.
It's like, it was that weird disassociation because that was it. Yeah, that was your last thing.
Yeah, Olivia talked about like, oh, getting out of bed and little things like that. That would be a small win for me. Like, even walking to class on a day where I feel like I cannot be seen by anyone right now, that's a small win for me because then I learn new things that I didn't think I would learn. I would meet people I didn't think I would talk to. Yeah, little things like that that leads to where I am now. Those are my small wins.
We've covered a lot of heavy topics, including like pressure waiting on what should be decisions for your present self and losing passion and mental health and friends and everything like that. But like we focused on, changing paths doesn't mean you failed and you didn't waste time. Like you learned what you don't want and you learned what you do want, and everything along the way meant to be what it's meant to be, like what Olivia said. You're just finding the right direction and there's so much community and you're not alone. And so thank you for listening today, and thank you to Megan and Olivia for tackling these conversations and sharing your own experiences.
Oh my gosh. I actually am feeling so much better about myself after doing this episode.
Me too.
Like, I'm like, I am doing well. Like,
that is so cute. No, me too. I feel like I know a lot more about you two now, and it feels so much more comfortable.
I feel so good because like a lot of your experiences, although they were different, they actually kind of validated what I was going through as well. So it was really nice to hear that as
well. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a good point for everyone listening to us at home. It's like, use this episode as like a validation for like whatever you're going through. Like, it's okay. Like the whole point of what this episode is supposed to be, but also like you are doing well. Give yourself a break. Even if you don't feel like you've earned it, like you're smashing it with whatever you're doing.
So well said.
And as we say every episode, I can't bring myself not to say it, please follow us on Instagram at UOA.oncampus. We'll post a little snippet of this podcast episode and lots of other fun stuff.
See you next fortnight.
'Take note.
This is a UOA On Campus production.